I wrote on the board an example. And I want us to think a little bit about a few things this morning. But before we start, I didn't mention that we're going to be having a revival meeting next Sunday, starting next Sunday morning, and then a potluck dinner right after that. So we hope everyone can come, and that will go, Lord willing, through next Wednesday, through the following Wednesday night. I was thinking about a scripture in John 13 and 15. And Jesus told them here, he said, "For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you." You know, Jesus used this. The word example means, I looked it up in Strong's and it says, an exhibit for imitation or warning, a specimen, an example or pattern. And Jesus told them here, now he had just washed their feet, and when he got done, he said, "Now I've given you an example that as I have done to you, I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you." You know, this morning, examples are so important to our understanding. I was thinking about math at school. We had for a number of years some real frustrations when it came to the higher maths. And we finally found some CDs that a company made that accompanied the books that we were using. And each lesson has about a 15-minute lesson in the morning that the children can watch. And somebody on there goes over not the exact lesson, but it is a lesson that corresponds with that. And they give examples and tell the students what it means and how it works. And our the math scores and at least the understanding has come way up, and the frustration has gone way down because children understand better what's being taught because they see that at the very start. And I'm thinking this morning, the Lord was our example. He was our pattern. This word means a pattern. It means an exhibit for imitation or warning, a specimen. You know, I'm thankful we have the Lord to show us the way, because when we're in doubt, we can look at the Lord's life and look at his teachings, and it clears things up for us a lot, doesn't it? Well, you know, the Lord wants us to realize, and this is something I trust the Lord will bring this home to all of us today. Our life is an example for those walking beside us and those following behind us. And, you know, sometimes I wonder how much we really realize the example that we are setting is something that, whether we say it or not, it is passing on to someone else. This is the way. This is the way I do it. This is the way I believe it. And those around us are affected by that. I want to read a few scriptures in Philippians 1 and 12. Paul brings some things out here that that really help us to understand in 1 and 12 of Philippians. "But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear." You know, Paul's example that he set in prison set an example that the disciples around him became much more bold in their life for the Lord, in their putting forth to the world. They became much more bold because Paul set an example before them that you can preach this gospel and you can get put in jail for it and in prison, and you can still prosper in the grace of God. And because of that, he said that many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds. Now, how could you become confident by somebody getting put in prison? Because they saw that the grace of God shined there. You know, there was a couple of brethren that was in prison that we read about in Acts, and their shackles just fell off. You know, those kind of things, we see Peter where he was in prison, and the angel of the Lord came. And that would cause people to realize, you know what? God is in control of this thing. Wherever I go or whatever He allows me to be in, you know what? The Lord's going to go with me there. And so these people were affected by Paul's example. I want to read in 1 Corinthians 8 to finish this thought before we go on. In 8 and verse 10 of 1 Corinthians, listen to what Paul says. Now, this is the effect that we have on one another. And sometimes we want to minimize that effect and just feel like, well, I can do what I want to do. Everybody else is, they're responsible for their own soul. But you know, God lets us know that we have a little more responsibility than that. That our example is affecting other people. For if any man see thee, which hast knowledge, sit at meat in the idol's temple, shall not the conscience of him which is weak be emboldened to eat those things which are offered to idols? And through thy knowledge shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died. But when ye sin so against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, ye sin against Christ. You know, this is speaking of the Jews coming out of this religious system where they were taught not to eat of the meat of idols. They were taught a lot of things, a lot of very specific things, not to mix with sinners. And here Paul tells them, if you have knowledge to realize, you know, this is meat just like any other meat, as long as it wasn't given in honor to the idol. If you have knowledge and realize that's, it's meat. And you sit down, your brother that's been taught that all his life, his conscience is going to be emboldened to do the same thing you're doing. And it's going to be damnation to him. And you know, this morning, I just want us to think a little bit about our actions and the things that we do and realize that our actions, our lifestyle, our manner of speech, our way of dealing with things, do you know that that emboldens other people? When we accept something into our life, let's just say it's an attitude, and we accept that into our life, and have you ever been around a group of people and they begin to talk and you realize this is quite a little attitude here? Before long, you can start pitching in a little yourself if you're not careful. We're emboldened by one another. The things that we do. Have you ever wondered, you know, I wonder if really this is that necessary. And you see somebody else that just flies by and don't worry about it at all. You know what? If you're not careful, that will embolden you to do something that sometimes you shouldn't do. And I'm just thinking this morning, the Lord wants us to know that He uses some pretty strong language here. He says, through thy knowledge shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died. This brother that he's talking about wasn't even committing sin or doing anything wrong. But he said, the brother that you're working with, it's going to offend his conscience. So be aware of that. And don't embolden him to offend his conscience. And he goes on to say, through thy knowledge shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died. This word embolden, you know, it makes us to know that that we are really affected. We are emboldened by one another. Do you know that it goes several ways? When these people saw Paul in prison and they saw the grace of God working in his life, they were emboldened to preach the gospel. They were emboldened to live just like the Lord wanted them to live in their day. And this brother here, he kind of was, that he's talking about, don't embolden people in the wrong way. Don't cause them to be moved forward in a way, to feel a loss of restraints in a way that's not good. And so I want to read on here, down to 13, verse 12, but when ye sin so against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, ye sin against Christ. Wherefore, if meat make my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend. I know we have to read these things with understanding. We have to understand that you can't meet every person's need in every way. But I will tell you, we can be careful that we can set a really good example for people to follow. An example is something, a pattern that they can look at and say, I want to follow that. That's something, and people do follow. Those around us, those following behind us, they follow our pattern. They see what way we're going, and it affects them. Whether that is a pattern of real fervency and zeal to do all the will of the Lord and to have His ways in my life, to give my life to Him. You know, that's catchy. You know, that's something that zeal is something that's challenging. I look back in my life, and I could name names here this morning that I have watched, that I saw them. I will name one. Brother Bob Salee was one that stood out in my life. I saw him departing. I saw him. He had a good job. He had a lot of people under him making a decent wage. And he gave up his retirement. He had money saved up. And he gave all of that up. And he followed the Lord and the call to come and work at the print shop where he lived by faith in his life. You know, that challenged me. It emboldened me. I saw that he told me, he witnessed to me, he told me a number of times how that God, when all his retirement money fizzled out and it was all gone, he said, God took care of me. And he began to tell me about how God had undergirded him and how he had blessed his life. You know what that did? That emboldened my life. I can tell you others that I have watched that followed after the Lord with all their heart, and it emboldened me. I wanted to follow that. It caused me to want to do that myself, to want to give myself in that way. And so this morning, I'm just challenging us to be careful in our life. Do we realize that the example that we are setting is affecting others around us? Not maybe. It is affecting others around us. There are those following us. There are those walking beside us. It is not only the ones that are following behind us. It is those walking beside us that they're also looking on our example. They're also looking on what we're giving to the world, what our life, our heart, our passion. They're looking on to our depth of consecration to the Lord, our desire, our zeal, our love for the Lord. And you know what? That's a pattern for them. And we can't expect them to do more than we're doing. Many times, those following behind us, they start where we left off. And if our example is one that is not really what we would want them to do, I will tell you, their starting place will be many times where we leave off. Not always, but many times it will be. And so we just want to keep that in mind, that we live with carefulness, that we don't sin against those around us, that we don't cause their consciences to become emboldened in the wrong way, but that the Lord is able to call and challenge and bless because they have an example that if they follow that example, it leads them to the Lord, leads them to a solid experience with the Lord. It leads them to places where their soul is alive and well. This morning, you know, the Lord wants our example to be that way this morning. I appreciate the example the Lord left. He didn't tell us to leave all, and then he himself did something else. The Lord left all. He loved, his whole life, he said, my meat. You know how many of us here have feasted on that scripture? My meat is to do the will of God. You know, that was what Jesus said. But it wasn't because he said it. It's because that's the way he lived. He gave us that kind of example. And when we follow that, our meat, what we chew on, the strength that we get comes from doing the will of God in our life. The Lord wants us to be like that. I believe he wants us to be a pattern. You know, in Genesis, where the Lord, this is chapter 4, but where the Lord said unto Cain, he said, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? That was Cain's response to God. But God was holding him responsible for his brother. And he asked him, where is your brother? I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? You know, sometimes we want to say, it's them. They're doing that. They're living that way. When we might have set the example for them. And this morning, I just want to challenge us. I don't want us to feel anything but challenged this morning. Let's set an example that those beside us, that they're challenged up, that they're not emboldened to live more to the world. That they're not emboldened to live more to the flesh or more to the things, just their own lethargy and way of dealing with life. The Lord would like for us to have something that emboldens them, challenges them to move up a little higher. Those following behind us, they're liable to pick up where we left off. How about where we're at right now? Are they safe to start at that point? Are they safe to start with that example in their mind? Many times that's what we give them. That's their starting point. Does it propel them forward? Or does it cause them to just fall out by the wayside? Not really a real good chance of establishing a life in the Lord. This morning I just want to challenge us to allow the Lord to work in our life in such a way that those that follow behind us have an example. They have an example, something that they can see. This is the way you do it. This is the way to live in my life. Sometimes we see those around us and we don't think our example is worth much. We're just a nobody. I mean, what do we have to give? I'll tell you, our life, that's what we give. That's the example that we give. We are giving an example. We are giving an example. And what is it? Are those coming behind us? Are those walking beside us? Are they going to be able to prosper by that example that we are setting for them? Myself, I want to provide an example. This is the way you prosper in the Lord. Give your heart. Live for the Lord with all your heart. Cleanse yourself of bad attitudes. Cleanse yourself of things. Don't let things in your life that will cause them trouble. Don't let selfishness be a part of our life. When we see it, cleanse our life of it. You know, then we're giving them an example. Did we come perfected? Did we come in such a way of perfection that we didn't need any growth or need any working on ourselves? That's not the perfection that the Lord starts us with. He gives us a perfect perfection in our heart, in our spirit. But I will tell you, He causes us to see ourselves. And what provides an example for others is that we deal with it. And we take care of it. And we slay it. And we take that territory. This is an example that we want those around us to follow. Do we provide an example of overcoming our flesh and giving to the Lord our emotions, our thoughts, our ways? Do we do that this morning? Just want to leave us with that challenge. In Philippians 1 and 20, listen to Paul's challenge here. Philippians 1 and 20, according to my earnest expectation and my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. You know, Paul, doesn't this inspire you when you read it? Paul makes bold statements in the Lord, whether it's by life or by death. And we know because he left us that kind of an example. We see it in his life, not just his words. He says, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." To live is Christ. To live my life is about Christ, is about living for Christ. That's what Paul's saying here. "But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I wot not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again." Paul chose life. He had a little choice here, it sounds like. And you know what he chose? He set us an example. He chose to deprive himself a while that these Philippians might be fed, that they might live. You know, the Lord wants us, our lives, to be like that. We're going to have to deprive ourselves a while until we get out of this life. And then the fullness of joy. But does that deprivation mean that we have a down life, nothing? I believe it gives us even more than the world has. There's a joy that the Lord gives, something deep in here that we see we're thankful for what we have. A deep satisfaction that God has been at work in my life. You know, the world has fun. And we have fun sometimes too. Lots of times, in fact. But the world thrives. That is their fun. That's the extent of it. Their fun, their enjoyments in the flesh, and there is some of that. But you know, the Lord has something so much better in life. And though we deprive ourselves in one sense, we're not cast down continually because the Lord lifts us up. When we are cast down, we can go to the light of the world and be enlivened and enlightened over and over and over. I went out last night late, and on the back porch, the sky, I tell you, this rain has cleared the sky. It was clear. It was beautiful. The stars were bright at 1 o'clock or 12:30 last night. And you know, I looked up at that and I realized his mercies are new every morning. You know, the Lord comes every morning. This morning, His mercy was new again. Again and again the Lord enlivens and re-strengthens. The night gets past and the morning comes. And God works that way this morning. Paul gave us something here, I believe, that will embolden us to live for the Lord. For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. He had that settled. Does that challenge you this morning? It challenges me. I want to be that way. I want it to embolden me. If Paul can do it, and he was just a man, I can do it. And you can do it. We can all do this if we will this morning. We're emboldened. I thought about some ways that people are emboldened that aren't good. You know, Eve, she saw that fruit. She wanted that fruit. But she had no idea what this was going to do. Even though God had already told her, "You're going to die if you take of that," she didn't have any idea what that meant. And she took of it. And then she fed it to her husband. And he was emboldened to disobey God. And then they had to leave God's presence. And then their children, what did they have? They didn't have what Adam and Eve started with. Where Adam and Eve left off, left them in a pretty poor place. And one of them killed the other. And we see then the change is going on down. What are we leaving for those behind us and those around us? What are we leaving for them? The example that we're leaving. Are we satisfied with what we're leaving this morning? The Lord wants us to be able to leave them an example. As I have done, you do like this. You do like that. It'll lead you to God. It'll lead you to a real closeness with the Lord. It'll lead you to places where you'll know God. And you'll know your place is made in heaven. We're emboldened by one another. In Matthew 24 and 12, we're familiar with this scripture. It says, because iniquity, Matthew 24 and 12, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Why is that? Why is it? Because it is contagious. And the love of iniquity, the love of self, the love of, when the word over there in Timothy, it speaks of, what is it, 2 Timothy 3, and it speaks of the end times. I believe it's 3. And it tells us that in the end times that people will be lovers of their own selves. That's why all those iniquities and sins follow that. Because they're lovers of their own selves. You know, the Lord wants us to recognize this and not be a lover of our own self. But be a lover of those things of God that we know will prosper people's lives. You know what it is, what a blessing it is for us to overcome our natural propensities and become a giver instead of one that just sets by and lets others give. The Lord wants us to be able to do that. Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold, because people love themselves. That's what that boils down to. All that iniquity comes from that love of self. And so we have to guard that love of self. Guard that feeding of our flesh. And crucify our flesh. We heard about this morning in Sunday school that if any man's going to come after me, Jesus said, he's got to take up his cross. And he's got to leave it all behind and follow me. All. And he talked about that some. You know, I think about another little example that we have in the Bible. And all these things are written for our admonition. I think about Korah. And, you know, when I think of that story, it amazes me. Because Korah was not alone, for one thing. I don't know how this got started. But God was working through Moses in a wonderful way. How could Korah have done what he did? How could Korah come up and say, you take too much on yourself? When he knew God was working. How could he do that? But you know what happened? He came with 250. And it says, this is in number 16. I'm just going to, maybe I'll turn there. Number 16. It says here, and they rose up before Moses was certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown. How did that happen? We look at Moses and say, how could that have happened? How with God working with Moses like he was, how could that have happened? Something got going. People had influence with one another. You know, we just need to be aware that we influence one another. Our attitudes influence one another. The spirit that we have influences one another. Here these people rose right up against what God was doing. Right up in the face of God. And the Lord pronounced judgment on them. But you know, I look at that story and it makes me scratch my head when I think about it. How could that have happened? Oh, because it got going. Because that's the way we influence one another. We're emboldened by one another. Somebody that would never speak evil like that is emboldened by 249 more that are. You know, we just need to recognize we're affected. We want to think we're not affected. We're just in touch with the Lord. You know what? We are affected by one another. And sometimes in ways that we don't realize. So I was reading a little bit not long ago about the earth and, you know, the pull, the gravitational pull. I don't understand how the moon, millions of miles out there, or several hundred thousand miles out there, how the moon affects the earth like it does when there's no air between it for it to touch. How does that happen? It does. And you know, we have to recognize we're affected. We're affected by things that we don't even know we're affected by. And we have to keep close to the Lord. Set an example for those around us that we go back to the fountain of life over and over. Lord, keep my feet in a plain path. When my ears begin to tingle, Lord, help me not to begin to be a part of that. When I see things begin to slide, Lord, help me not to be a part of that. When I see things start getting all upriled and fanatical, Lord, help me not to be a part of that. Help me to follow your example where you followed, where you was in touch with God and walked with God, that I can leave something for those following behind me and walking beside me, that they will know the way to the Lord. You know, that's a challenge to me this morning. Lord, help us to follow you in a way that causes spiritual prosperity in those that see the example and are affected. Because they are affected. I'm affected by your life. I'm affected when people, by things that people think. I have to go to the Lord. Lord, what about this? You know, we're all affected. We may not realize it. There may be no connection there. There may be no air there between us. But I will tell you, there is a pull, a gravitational pull that we feel that we don't even realize. Attitudes, values. What about the values that we have? Are we a good example of values in our life? Are we a good example that those that follow beside us, if they follow us, they're safe? If they follow us, they're probably going to make it. They're probably going to find a safe way to walk. It's a good path. It's a place that I would recommend to anybody. Or is it on the edge? Sometimes we leave those an example and we're on the edge. And if those coming behind us or those affected beside us are emboldened by that, they fall off the side. And it happens many times. I've seen that happen. Values and standards, attitudes, things we accept into our home. The way we serve the Lord, our service to God, is it on the edge or is it in a plain path? Follow me as I follow Christ. Can we say that? Just follow me as I follow Christ. I will tell you what, I believe you'll find God there. Can we say that, or are we really kind of on the edge? The Lord's giving us, I believe, a little push. Get in the center of His will. Take our example and examine ourselves. Whether we be a good example or not. Whether those being affected by us are affected in a more godly way. In a more humble way, in a more teachable way, and in a way that will cause them to prosper spiritually. One scripture says, "Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, Do it with thy might. Another scripture says, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Let's make our example that way. We're the only ones that can do that. No one else can do that. Christ left us an example. If we don't have any more examples around us, we can look straight to the Lord, and He can give us the example that we need to cause us to leave for others a healthy example. An example that when they look, they'll understand a little bit. Their understanding won't be all mixed up by what they've seen. I want to read one more place in James 5 and 10. Listen to these scriptures. James 5 and 10. Take my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. They not only suffered affliction, but they had patience. And, you know, James is telling us here, take those ones for an example before us. Behold, we count them happy which endure. You have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. How did we hear of the patience of Job? How did we hear of that? How did we know of it? Because Job left us such an example that the Lord had it written down so all of us could read it several thousand years later. And the Lord wants our life. Our lives won't be written down like that for thousands of years. But I will tell you what we can do. We can leave those coming behind us, not just our children, those all around us that are coming behind us, we can leave them with some kind of a challenge. This is the way. Walk ye in it. Follow me as I follow Christ. And follow the Lord. Amen.